Hi, this is Eric Elder broadcasting live from the ranch. We've had a cold day today with a little rain melting the snowmen outside here. But we're going to have a nice night tonight with you because we're going to talk about something that's just basic Christianity. I call it Christianity 101, but it's a good thing to warm our hearts and to remind us of exactly why we're here and why God loves us so much and exactly what He's done for us. So whether you've been a Christian for many years or whether you're just still discovering your own faith and trying to decide what you want to be, I pray that tonight would just be beneficial to you and just lift your spirits and give you something to think about, as well as change your life and change your eternal destiny. Tonight, I want to focus on the gospel truth. Have you ever wished you could just hear a very clear explanation of how to get into heaven? Or do you wish you had a clear explanation that you could give to others, to your friends or your relatives, of how someone can get into heaven, how you can be sure that you're going to have eternal life? Because that fact alone brings such a peace to people's hearts that it's a fact that we just want to share with many people. So tonight I'm going to give you the simple gospel truth. And some people try to complicate it much more than it is. And you don't have to be a theologian to understand it. You don't have to have secondary degrees to understand it. In fact, it's so simple that even a child can understand it. A few years ago, I shared with some neighbor children who came over to my house, and they were from some countries in Asia. There were three of the little kids, and they were 10 years and under. And I just shared with them the simple things that I'm going to share with you tonight. And at the end of that few minutes that I spent with them, they all three decided that they wanted to accept Jesus into their life. And after they had prayed that prayer, I asked them how they felt. And they said they just felt such a peace come over them. One of the children could barely stand up. He said, I just feel so warm and just so good. And one of the other children said, I just feel clean. I feel so clean now. So this is a very simple thing because God wants to make it very easy for us to understand. And I'm going to give you the simple gospel tonight. Before I do that, I want you to take a look on your screen at your message notes. There are a few passages from Scripture that I'd like you to read that will help get your mind focused and really think about the topic we're talking about today. And you'll be able to get in tune with what the Holy Spirit is trying to tell you through me today. And I just want you to look at that on your message notes section of your screen, and you'll be able to see some of the passages that I'd like you to read. I'll just play a little bit on the piano. And if you'll read those and then pray, I will come back and we'll walk through the outline and share with you a message that I hope is essential to your life and essential to people around you. Thank you. Let me share with you the gospel truth. There's three points to what I want to share tonight. The first is very simple. God loves you. I heard Billy Graham this week, and he was talking about his Tampa crusade, and he gave these words during the crusade, and he said, "If there's one thing I want you to remember from all these meetings that we've had here in Florida, it's this. God loves you." And for this 80-year-old man to stand up there with all the authority that he carries with presidents and kings around the world and to have that simple message, God loves you, just struck me as profound. It's not a trite statement. It's not a too simplistic statement. It's a very factual statement. God very much loves you. You can look anywhere in the Bible and you'll be able to find how much God loves you. Let me just pick one particular passage just for an example. Here's Psalm 103, verses 8 through 18. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He's abounding in love. And it just goes on to describe how he will not accuse forever. He won't harbor his anger forever. He won't treat us as our sins deserve. But he has great love for us. He will remove our sins as far as the east is from the west. He knows how we're formed. He knows what we're like. And from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him. So God, page after page of the Bible is just filled with God's love poured out for people here on the world. If you don't believe me, just take a breath right now. Just take a deep breath in. That is God's love to you, that he's created this air, this oxygen on this planet of all the planets that we know about. That air is created for us so that we can breathe. It's an offspring of the plants, the things that we need to eat and survive. God has provided everything we need here on earth for our survival. He's created us. He's formed us, our blood and our bones. Every piece of us has been created and knit together by God. And he very much loves us and wants us to be blessed. He wants us to know that love in our hearts. 1 John 4:16 puts it simply, God is love. When you think of God, you can think of love, and you'll be thinking of the God who loves you. So that's the first point, God is love. The second point is also very simple and very easy to grasp. Man is a sinner. Men have sinned. We have made mistakes. If you think through your life, are there any things that you regret having done? Anything at all come to your mind of regrets that maybe you've had over your life? Well, those regrets are just one inkling of what sin is like in our life. Because when we sin, what we're doing, we've got this God who's loving us, and we can be loving him back, but when we sin, we turn our back on God. That's what sin is. It's a turning away from God, and that sin separates us from God. So anytime we do something that God doesn't like or isn't pleased with, we are turning our back on God. We can just go through the Bible and find a number of sins and the punishments for them. The Ten Commandments, for instance, have a whole list of sins. Lying, stealing, adultery, sexual immorality, not honoring your father and mother, profaning the name of God. All of those are things that we do, whether in thought or word or deed. And those sins, the Bible says, there's a penalty and there's a price that has to be paid every time we turn away from God. Now, we may not think that we've had many sins, but even those minor sins, gossip or slander, which actually are very major in God's eyes, but they may seem minor to us, those add up. And imagine how many sins you may have committed over your lifetime, even counting all those little tiny sins. Now remember, a sin is everything we think and everything we do and everything we say. Now if you think of everything you've done in thought, word, and deed that hasn't been what God has wanted us to do, a very saintly person would have sinned maybe 10 times a day. Let's cut it down even 3 times a day. Over your lifetime, that is 70,000 sins. Only 3 little sins a day, that's 70,000 sins. And imagine if you walked into a court and you had 70,000 offenses against you. even if they were minor traffic tickets. 70,000 of them. The judge, if he's a good judge at all, is going to have to punish those sins. And the Bible says in Isaiah 53:6, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each one have turned to our own way. This is the condition of all men. This is an evident fact. You can see the sins in the lives of others around you. Sometimes we're blinded to our own sins, but God says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's in Romans 3:23. All have sinned. Every person has sinned. And the penalty for that sin varies in the Bible, but usually the penalty is death. There's a price that must be paid, and that price is the shedding of blood, whether the Jews had to sacrifice an animal or whether finally Jesus shed his own blood for our lives. So the fact that man is a sinner is the second point. The first point was God loves us, and the second point is men have sinned and turned away from God. Let me give you this simple illustration to see the dilemma that God has. Let me get a book here. The Bible says that there are books being recorded in heaven right now of everything that we say and everything that we do and everything that we think. So this could be a book about my life that's being recorded in heaven, and in here are everything that I've ever done and everything I've ever said and everything that I've ever even thought about. And the Bible says that one day these books will be opened and everyone will see what's in these books. It will be known to everyone. Now, this would be a terrible thing, and some people's books are being opened right now. But God, one day, will open everyone's books, and everything you've done will be shown to everyone around you. I don't know how that makes you feel, but to me, that can make me a little nervous. It makes me not feel good that people would see what's in my book. So God has this dilemma. Imagine my hand is me, and God loves me very much. But the things in this book, the sins in our lives, keep us separated from God, and God must somehow punish what's in that book without hurting us. So how does he do that? How does he make us pay the price for these sins without hurting us, represented by my hand? Well, that's when he sent Jesus Christ into the world. So when he died on the cross, he took on himself all the sins that we've ever committed, so now we can come free to God. That simple illustration shows the third point that I want to make tonight. Christ provides the way back to God. The first point, God loves you. And the second point, that men have sinned and turned away from God. And the third and final point is that Christ has provided a way for us to come back to God. You may not realize why you need Christ. You might say, why do I need Christ to come back to God? Isn't it good enough if I just say I'm sorry and try to come back to God on my own? Well, imagine some of the sins that some of us have committed. If you've had some sexual immorality prior to marriage, is there any way that you can come back to God on your own and get back your virginity? Is there any way, if you've murdered someone, to come back to God and say, wow, I'm really sorry for that, and somehow restore that life back? No, there's no way you can do that. If you've had an abortion or some other thing that has been a tragedy in your life, is there any way to get that child back? Is there any way, when you've lied to someone, to get that lie back and those hurtful words back? Or if you've gossiped about someone, is there any way to take back those words that have already come out of your mouth? No, you can say you're sorry for them, you can try to do what you can to make amends, but there's no amount of money, no amount of effort that you can do to take back those things that have happened. And that's why God has provided Christ. Christ, when he died on the cross, he took all our sins upon him. He took everything upon him that we have done in our life, and he paid the price for them all. And he restores them. The Bible says he washes our sins as white as snow. He restores us to the pure state we were once in before, because only pure things can come into the presence of God. And when we believe in Christ, It's like we transfer all the purity of Christ onto us, and now God can see us as pure vessels. We can bring back people who have been hurt. We can bring back those words. We can have our sins removed from us. The Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, that's how far we will be separated from our sin when we believe in Christ. So Christ is absolutely essential for us to come back to God. It's important that we believe in Him. And I had you read a passage earlier, and it's from the book of Numbers about Moses and the snake. And you may or may not remember this passage, but it's interesting because it comes right in one of the most famous passages of the Bible, John 3:16. It talks about this Old Testament reference. Let me just look at John 3:16 for you. This is the proof and the evidence of God's love for us. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Let me stop right there. In a nutshell, that verse explains the entire gospel. That verse explains that God so loved the world that He demonstrated His love in a certain way. He gave His one and only Son, so that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Through believing in Christ, we can come back to God. And it says it's the same. Go back up to verse 14. It says, this is the same as when Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in Him may have eternal life. Now that reference was back to Numbers that talked about the plague of snakes that came upon the people of Israel. They had sinned against God, and God sent these snakes. And the people cried out to God and said, God, forgive us, do something so that we don't get killed by these venomous snakes. And Moses came to God and said, God, what do I do? And the Lord said to Moses, put up a pole in the desert and put an image of a snake upon it. And when anyone sees a snake and gets bitten by a snake, they can look up at that snake, the bronze snake on the pole, and they will be healed. Simply by putting this pole in the community and having a bronze snake at the top of it, whenever anyone got bit by a snake, they could look up at that snake, and whenever they did, they would be healed. It was as if they would be reminded of what God had done for them and that God was gracious to them. We, in the same way, this passage in John says, can look up to Christ who died on the cross. And whenever we look to Him and the sin that is in our life overwhelms us, we can look up to Christ and we will be forgiven of our sin. We will be healed of the things that are killing us, those things that are destroying us. God says that this is possible only because He sent His Son. Now, God could have done a lot of things to tell us He loves us. He could have sent us an email message and said, hey, I love you, Eric, just wanted to let you know that. Or He could have sent me a fax and said, Eric, I love you, just wanted you to know that. In fact, He says that on many pages here in the book. But sometimes we don't believe words like this. So God demonstrated His love for us in this. He sent His one and only Son for us. Isn't it great that God didn't send a fax for you to tell you He loved you, but God sent His Son for you to tell you that He loves you? By faith, we can have eternal life. Eternal life is what heaven is all about. When this life is over, the next life is heaven, or the next life is hell, depending on what you've done with what you know about Christ. If you have not believed in Christ throughout your life, you will not have eternal life. For the Bible says you must believe in Jesus in order to get to heaven. Now this may seem narrow, but to me this seems very broad. We just have to believe in Christ and we can go to heaven. We don't have to jump through hoops. We don't have to go to church every Sunday. We don't have to give 10 or 20 or 30% of our money away. We don't have to do any of those things to go to heaven. We go to heaven by believing in Jesus Christ. John 3:16 again, for those who believe in the Son of God, they will not perish, but have everlasting life. This is a promise, and it's promised again in John 1 John 5:13. You can be assured that you're going to heaven, even tonight. If you don't have that assurance, we will pray at the end of the night that you can know these things. Because John expressed the same sentiment. John was one of the closest followers of Jesus Christ, and he wrote in a letter these words, "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life." John says, "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, Jesus, so that you may know that you have eternal life." You will live forever. John so much wanted people to know this that he wrote it down. He said, "I want you to believe this. I want you to know this, because then you can stand rock solid regardless of what comes your way." This is great assurance, even if you've been a Christian for 10 or 20 or 30 years, to know that you will go to heaven and to know that you have eternal life. Let me give you a few words about sharing these truths with others. And later, after a few minutes, I want to pray with anyone who wants to make a decision to believe in Christ. But right now, I want to talk to those of you who have already made that decision. Because there is a great, compelling reason for us to share this good news with others. The word gospel simply means good news. And this is great news for people who need to be set free from their sins. When we share about Christ, we're not beating someone over the head with something they don't want to hear. We're offering them something that they don't have. We're offering them freedom and release. This is like your aunt dies and leaves you $10 million. The news of the death may not be good, but the $10 million might help someone. In the same way, it may not be good news for people to hear that they have sinned, but the good news that they can be forgiven and get abundant life here on earth plus heaven is great news. So there is a way that you can share the gospel that is positive and that gives this good news to people. And the compelling reason for it comes from two passages of Scripture, and I'll just call them the first and last commands of Jesus to his disciples. That is to preach the gospel throughout the world. The first command of Christ to his disciples was in Mark 1:17, and he said this, "Come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And the very last command of God to his disciples was Mark 16:5, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Preach the good news to every creature. So even from the first to the last and everywhere in between, Christ has been sending us forth and saying, "I want you to believe this for yourself, and I want you to go and share it with others." Because God isn't going to send a fax. He's not going to send an email. He's going to send you, and he's going to send me to share the good news with others. You may think, well, it's okay. If someone in a remote island doesn't hear about Christ, somehow God's going to go take care of them, because that wouldn't be fair for God to send them to hell just because they haven't heard about Christ. And you would be right in thinking that. That wouldn't be fair for God to send them to hell just because they haven't heard about Christ. But that's not why they're being sent to hell. People are condemned to hell because they have sinned. The offer of Christ is great news. The offer of Christ is by grace. And unless they hear about Christ, they will not hear that good news, and they will be condemned to hell. This is exactly what John 3:16 follows up with. The very next sentence says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." So you are condemned already. And the fact that you can have Christ is an added bonus. It's a blessing to us, and it takes away our sins. So there's a very compelling reason for us to go and share the gospel. Let me give you that 3 points one more time so that you can know those and you can pass them on to someone else. The 3 points that are essential to sharing Christ with others is, the first, God loves you. Just let the person know that God loves them very much. You don't need to beat them over the head with their sins. You don't need to beat them over their head with why aren't they doing what they need to be doing. You need to let them know first and foremost that God loves them. It's on every page of Scripture. God loves you. It's in all of creation. God loves you. God has created everything for your benefit. Two, the fact that when we sin, we turn our way from God. We turn our backs on God. This is the whole fact that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Everyone has sinned, and it doesn't necessarily matter the magnitude of the sin. The fact is that there are times when we've turned away from God. And three, the way to come back to God is through Christ. When Christ died on the cross, he paid for our sins so we can come back fresh and have our sins washed whiter than snow. One, God loves you. Two, men have sinned and turned away from God. Three, Christ provides the way back to God for those who believe in him. And that book illustration that I showed you is one of the simplest and easy to remember these three points. Your one hand represents yourself. This is you. God loves you. Point number one. Point two, men have sinned. The things in our book that are being recorded in heaven right now is everything we've ever said, everything we've ever done, everything we've ever thought. All those are being recorded. And some people's books are being opened right now. President Clinton is having his books opened right now before the whole world about some of the sins in his life. He's just getting some of that a little early. The rest of us have had our books open in the past, and some of us will have our books open in the future. But one day they'll all be the same, and they'll be opened. So God loves us, our hand. God hates our sin and must punish us, the book. And three, Christ was sent into the world to provide a way of escape. When he died on the cross, he took our sins, so we can now come free and clean to God. Simply by believing in Christ, we can have the assurance that we'll go to heaven. God loves us. He hates our sin and must punish it. He sent Christ into the world to die on the cross so we could come free to God. I hope that makes sense to you. I hope that's a clear and easy and simple way for you to remember the gospel and how to share it with others. It's very important that you make a decision for Christ. And it's very important that you make a decision even tonight to share the gospel with other people, your friends, your relatives, even people you don't know. God wants that very much. Making a decision is one thing. But as the story goes about three frogs on a log, you need to do something about it. The story says that there were three frogs on a log and one of them jumped off. I'm sorry. There were three frogs on the log and one of them decided to jump off. So how many frogs were still on the log? And the answer is three. One of them only decided to jump off. He hadn't actually jumped yet. Tonight, I want to cause you to jump, not only to make the decision to accept Christ and to share Christ with others, but I want to cause you to jump in your heart and make that decision today. Make that commitment today and put your trust in Christ, that you will accept him as your Savior and Lord, and that you will also share that good news with others. I'd like you just to think and pray for a few minutes as I play a song that I wrote called Go Into All the World, and I'm not going to sing it. I'm just going to let you alone with God and the things that I've shared with you tonight, and just let you ask God, God, is there something you want me to know from all of this today that I can share with others? And then I'll come back. I'll close with a short story that's one of the most compelling I've heard for faith in Christ, and we'll close with a prayer to help you make these decisions. Just ask God anything he wants you to know about what you've heard today. Are you ready to jump? Are you ready to make today a day not only of decision, but a day that your heart changes and will be for God? The words of that song say, go into all the world, tell them that I love them, and tell them that I need them. Meaning, I need them to tell others that I love them. God loves you, and God needs you. He wants to use you. Let me read this story, and then we will pray. It's called God's Only Forgotten Son. Suppose that the police were to break into this room right now with guns and draw and take me away handcuffed to prison. You, of course, would be startled when you read in the newspaper that I was being tried for multiple murders and bank robberies. You would be even more surprised to hear that. After you heard that I had been convicted and sentenced to die in the electric chair, you would no doubt be amazed indeed. Since, however, you know me and you're supposed to love your neighbor even as yourself, you decide to try to do something to help me. So here I am, a convicted criminal, supposed to die, and you, wanting to love me, would try to do something to help me. So you go down to speak to the judge and say, what can I do to help? I'll do anything at all. I will even be willing to give my life for him. To which the judge replies, that would not be a sufficient sacrifice for this man that has killed many people. However, we would accept the life of your child. That would be an adequate sacrifice. You go home and agonize. You have but one child, a lovely young daughter. You pray, you wrestle with your decision, and finally you decide that if you are really going to love me, even as yourself, that you must do this. And so you bring your child down to the prison where you are told, you must do it. You shave her head, you put her in the chair, and you pull the switch. And so, as your child looks pleadingly at you and says, Mommy, why have you forsaken me? You cover her head and watch her writhe and die as you pull the switch. The guards inform me of what has been done by you in my behalf, and that because of that, I am free to go home. A few days later, you are sitting in a booth in a restaurant having dinner. I come in behind you with a friend and sit down, not seeing you. You overhear my friend say to me, according to the newspapers, you'd been condemned and were to die in the electric chair. What happened? How is it that you're free? And then, to your astonishment, you hear my reply, oh, it was all a big mistake. When they looked at the record of my life, they saw that I was really a pretty nice fellow. There were a great many people that I had not killed and numerous banks that I had not robbed. Why, I had even put money in some banks and helped several old ladies across the street in years gone by. After weighing my whole life, they decided to let me go, and therefore I am free. As you listen to these words, there flashes into your mind a picture of your daughter writhing in the electric chair. And you know in your heart that the only reason that I am walking around alive is because on the other side of town, there's a new grave with your daughter's name on the marker. How do you feel about me now? I think that's the same way God might feel about you if you had come before him today and told him all about your good works without even a word about his son who died on the cross. A little boy in the first grade in Sunday school was reciting John 3:16, but he got it slightly mixed up, and I think that he is a picture of many of us. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only forgotten son. There was a reason Jesus came to live and to die and to rise again. And if we ignore that fact, if we say that it made no difference in our lives whatsoever, then his life and his death was a waste. But only because he came and died for our sins is the reason why you and I are alive today, why God didn't wipe us out 2,000 years ago. And he continues to offer grace and to extend his love and mercy to those of us who will believe in him. Would you like to make that commitment tonight, just by faith? Not based on any works that you've done, not any of your good works and all the things that you feel like you would be earning heaven for, because you can't earn it. It's a gift from God. It's by grace, through faith in Jesus Christ. Would you like to make that commitment tonight? I want to pray with you right now, and then I want to pray that God would send you into the world to share this good news with others. If you're ready, let's pray. Just pray after me. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus to die for me. I am so sorry for the things I've done. I realize now that I'm only alive because Jesus died. God, I do believe in Jesus. I don't want to stand condemned for my sins. And I believe that because you sent Jesus, I can be free. Please, God, forgive me. And please, God, put the assurance in my heart that I will be with you forever in heaven. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, so that I won't sin against you again. And help me share this good news with others. In Jesus' name, amen. And now I'd like to pray for you who may struggle with sharing this good news with others. It's great news. If you had $10,000 that God told you you had to give away, you would do it. You'd go out on the street and you'd do it tomorrow. This is even better than $10,000. This will bring peace to people's souls. I pray right now, God, that you would send people forth to share the good news of Jesus' life and death and resurrection. Lord, give them the words in that instant to speak. Even if they forget some of the things we've talked about tonight, God, it doesn't matter, as long as they can share that, God, you love them and that you sent Jesus to die for them. And if they'll simply believe in Christ, they can have eternal life. Lord, put that passion in their hearts. Put the compassion that goes with it in their hearts. Put that burden on them to share the gospel. Even right now, I just sense that someone is being touched so much they're weeping and weeping with the burden that God is putting on them to share Christ. God, I pray that that would increase and that would only be alleviated by the sharing of the gospel with other people. And as they share, they would feel the peace of God come upon them, that they are walking in their calling, that they're doing exactly what you commanded the first disciples to do. Come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. God, we receive those words from you as direct commands, and we want to obey you, and we want to follow you. Thank you, Lord, for this platform on the internet to do that, Lord. Thank you for the workplaces where we work and we can share the gospel. Thank you for the relatives and friends that we can share with. Thank you that we can go, Lord, with the finances you've given us and will provide for us to go into all the world, other countries, inner cities, outer fields, Lord. I pray that you would send us and you would equip us and you would help us to share your good news. For we want others to have eternal life and not to perish. Thank you, God, for sending your Son. Thank you for giving us a purpose in our lives that will outlast anything else we ever do. In Jesus' name, amen. Boy, it's fun to share Christ with others, and it's fun to share Christ with you. And I pray that it's been a blessing to you. If you'd like to chat further, we'll be in the chat room at the ranch after the broadcast, or you can find me later in the week through email at pokey@theranch.org, or you can chat with me on ICQ and find me throughout the day. Also, we are proclaiming the gospel through the internet as our full-time occupation right now. My wife and I, this is what we do as a full-time outreach to people around the world, just as others do it on television or radio or travel by missionary means. We're using a newer technology to reach out and share the gospel, and we believe it will reach many, many people. And if you'd like to help us in that, if you'd be interested in praying for us and getting on our newsletter list or helping us financially to overcome some of the obstacles that keep us from spending the money that we need to spend to get the word out to others, we would love to hear from you as well, so that we can take this gospel further and further than we've taken it before. Just send me an email at pokey@theranch.org, and I'll be glad to share with you how you can help us out. Thanks for coming, and next week we'll have another message live from the ranch.